Luke chapter 6 tonight, so let's go in our Bibles to Luke chapter 6, continuing our journey of getting to know Jesus, building our confidence in Him, paying attention to what He does and what He teaches. So, Luke chapter 6. The last time we were in this, which was, I believe, 2 weeks ago now, so it might be a little while, I just want to review. We are in the midst of a sermon that Jesus is preaching to His followers. And really, a whole multitude is there, but His disciples are specifically, He's just chosen them in this chapter, and He's done a lot of healing. This has been a busy, busy day. He's spent all night in prayer, and now He is proclaiming God's truth. And He began in verses 20 through 26 by describing what I call God's value system. He's helping people, helping His followers, helping us to understand what is it that God values. These are often called the Beatitudes if you look at them in Matthew chapter 5, but this is Luke's version of them. And it shows what God values. And Luke divides it into four different locations of our life or aspects of our lives. The economy or economic aspect, the physical aspect, the emotional aspect, the social aspect. And so Jesus is really just getting right down in the trenches with the people, realizing they live normal lives and deal with the economy and deal with physical things, deal with emotions, deal with social and relational aspects of life. And He wants to understand, take God's incredible truth, God's incredible righteousness, and He wants to make it practical for their everyday life. So we're going to continue with that in mind. Here Jesus is not trying to be this eloquent up here speech that is hard to understand, but He is coming right down to our level, dealing with things that people are dealing with every single day. So with that in mind, knowing He has just dealt with that God's value system, now we're going to turn our attention to the application of love in your life. God's love in your life. What does that look like, practically speaking? What does that look like in relationships, in other ways? So, beginning in verse 27 of Luke chapter 6, we read these words. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Now, you notice here that it seems as if Jesus is making a bit of transition in His message. He's using these words, but I say unto you, which hear. And I love that because what Jesus is saying is that there may be some of you here that aren't hearing. And so, this word hear, this idea of hearing, is more than just the sound waves coming across your eardrum and making it vibrate. I mean, I'm sure we all have had times when we have heard something or heard something our spouse has said, but it just was a little rattling of the eardrum. It wasn't a connection with the brain. You know, in the scriptures, Jesus here wants to acknowledge that people need to not only connect here with the brain, but it's a matter of the heart. I am proclaiming these things to you that hear, which hear, you've got to listen deep within. But I say unto you which hear, and so now we're going to read a series of mind-blowing, like not, it's like out of this world kind of stuff that if you don't know God and you don't know Christ, these kinds of things sound crazy. Just might as well say it. They just sound crazy. They just aren't practical for our life. So then why does Jesus say this? Because He's not just trying to patronize these people or patronize us to just help us feel better. He is teaching God's valued system, God's righteousness, God's love. And so we should not be shocked or surprised if here Jesus proclaiming God's way, if it's completely different, if it revolutionizes our thinking on life. There's a series of instructions here, imperatives. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. All right, so we've got a series of four things here. Love, do good, bless, and pray. Now, we like to love. I mean, love, it's good. We know that, and we know we are to love. But Jesus isn't just saying love here. He's giving a specific qualification with each of these things. Do good. Of course we need to do good, right? That's natural. We need to be good people. Even you go out in the streets today and you ask somebody, are you supposed to be a good person or a bad person? What are they going to say? Good, usually. Bless them that curse you. Blessing. Of course we should have blessing coming out of our mouth. Pray. Oh, yeah, that's a good spiritual thing to be doing. Yes. Now, keep in mind that the Jewish people are entangled in this religious system of outward actions, of things that I'm going to appear good on the outside, and that's what matters, that's what counts. This is what is fostered by the Pharisaical teachings and mindset. All of these lists of rules and regulations that they need to abide by, and yet deep in their hearts, they do not love God. So what Jesus is doing here is he, again, is challenging our thinking. So love your enemies. Well, do you have any enemies in your life? Are there enemies? Who are your enemies? And I'm not asking for you to tell me. But when Jesus speaks this way, what is he doing? He is speaking into our hearts, and he's pointing his finger, and you, in your mind, are saying, well, there's this person, right? Your enemies. Now, I'm not asking you to dream up enemies. I mean, if you don't have any enemies, that's okay. That's fine. But I dare say that Jesus, being God in human flesh, knew who he was talking to. Just take for a moment a certain man named Simon. Simon the Zealot. Simon the Zealot was passionate for the deliverance of Jerusalem and Judea from Rome. You think he had any enemies? Very likely he did. Rome to be one of them. What about Matthew? Good old Matthew, or call him Levi. He was a tax collector. We all love tax collectors, don't we? Some of us might look at the tax collectors as the enemy. The Jewish people looked at the tax collector as a sinner. He's not on our side. He's not in our favor. Do you think Matthew had any enemies? I can only imagine what it was like for those disciples the first time they all got together. Oh, I bet there was some interesting conversations. And I wonder how much Jesus had to, pull it apart, guys. It's all right. We'll deal with this. In fact, I'll preach a sermon tomorrow. Listen up. Love your enemies. Is that mind-blowing? Absolutely. Is it of God? Yeah, it is. It's his way. And that's what God does. That's what his word does. Is it takes us from the realm of here and human thinking, and it lifts us up to the realm of God and his thinking, his way, his righteousness. Love your enemies. Secondly, do good to them which hate you. Oh, does anybody hate you? So this is different than the idea of an enemy, although often enemies hate each other. This is hatred that you definitely have felt the expression of hatred against you and your person by this other individual. They hate you and certainly are not doing any good to you or for you, and yet Jesus says, do good to them that hate you. We may have times in our life when we will face the hatred of others. Maybe you have already done that. And Jesus' words is, do good to them that hate you. Verse 28, bless them that curse you. So out of your mouth ought to come blessing, even if someone is cursing you. Listen, this is not easy stuff. I mean, when somebody hates you or is cursing you, talk to me about your blood pressure. Really? Talk to me about your driving habits. When somebody gives you the finger. Did I say that in church? It happens. When somebody cuts you off in disdain. Yeah. And what happens to you? What happens in your heart? I'm so thrilled and excited that God's got the answers for us, that we don't have to wonder, like, what am I supposed to do right now? They really hate me. What am I supposed to do? Because that's one of our biggest concerns. Like, what am I to do? I feel like I got to do something. And so often we want to even the score. We want to make their life just as difficult as they're making our life. You ever try that? How'd it work out? I gather if you're still doing that, it's still an ongoing problem, and probably much worse. Oh, bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Pray for them. So we have love, do good, bless, and pray. Are these things that characterize your life? Are these things that characterize my life? Just looking at the verbs initially, love. Am I somebody that loves? And this is an agape love. Remember, there's different kinds of love. This is different kinds of love in the New Testament here. The Greek language is three different words, at least three different words for love. Agape, which is what is here, is a commitment-driven love. Phileo is a relationship-driven love. And eros is a passion-driven love. This is a commitment-driven love. How's your love tonight? What about this? What about doing good? We know that we are saved by grace, not by works, Ephesians chapter 2. But you know what? We often will neglect the next verse, Ephesians 2:10, which is very important because we're not saved just to float around and just be there. We are saved with a purpose. We are saved, verse Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto what? Unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Are you doing good? Notice these are active things that we are to be doing in our life. Follower of Jesus, disciple, Christian. How about bless? Does blessing come out of your mouth? You know, James addresses this in James chapter 3, I believe it is, in the tongue. And he talks about there ought not to be both blessing and cursing come out of your mouth. pray. You're praying for people. Now you throw in the objects of these verbs. You love your enemies. So you love, you say you love tonight, are you loving your enemies? You're doing good, you say you're doing good tonight, are you doing good to those who hate you? Stop categorizing. Stop putting people in this box and this box. These people, they hate me. These people, they like me. I'll do good over here. But you, sorry. What kind of message is that communicating? What kind of message does that communicate out there to the world as they watch your life? People that hate you are going to say, that person hates me right back. They're no different. And this, in fact, is Jesus' point, as we'll see. Well, he continues to describe this. I can imagine the crowd is shuffling their feet and just a bit curious about what else is he going to come up with here. Well, verse 29, and unto him that smites you on one cheek, offer also the other. Am I supposed to just let people mutilate me? Just come, hey, free hit. I want you to understand and notice here that what Jesus says is, the unto him that smites you. So in other words, somebody already has come up and hit you. It's not that you're just setting yourself out there to say, hey, come hit me. No, somebody hits you. How are you to respond? What are you to do? What's the natural reaction? Hit them right back. Isn't it? It is. It is our natural reaction. What Jesus is saying here is, let's not be natural. Let's be God. And we need to hear this, don't we? We need to be reminded of this because we are naturally ones hit right back. He goes on, he says, let him that takes away your cloak, and him that takes away your cloak, forbid not to take your coat also. Somebody comes up, takes your outer garment, your cloak away from you, your jacket, takes it from you, and they say, hey, I want your shirt too. Well, you could put up a fight, say no. You could think about, why are they taking your cloak? Which is an interesting thought, especially in the day here. Why would somebody come up and take away your cloak? Just because they want to be annoying? I'm wondering if Jesus is getting at something here. Sometimes people come up and take your cloak because maybe they don't have one. Now, are they doing the right thing by stealing? No. And he's not condoning that, but he is talking to you, the follower of Jesus. What are you to do? Well, don't forbid them to take your shirt also, your coat also. Notice the words too, because we don't want to, it's not like we just take our shirts off and just say, here, come steal these things. But he says that if somebody is going to come up and take your jacket, if they want your shirt, okay, don't forbid that. Verse 30, give to every man that asks of you, and of him that takes away your goods, ask them not again. Well, there's going to be people that come up and ask things of us. Jesus says, give. Does this characterize us? Are we givers? He doesn't say how much to give, or he says give. Him that takes away your goods, in other words, and walks off, you give to somebody, don't ask for those things back. Is this mind-blowing? This is tough stuff, isn't it? Is Jesus getting our attention? Does he? You think so? Do you think he has the crowd's attention? Some may be walking away. You wonder what Judas Iscariot's thinking. You wonder about Matthew, tax collector. You wonder about those fishermen who typically were poor, and they worked hard for everything they had. Jesus, we're already poor. What are you saying? Jesus has a point here. Look at this, verse 31. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. What's that called in our modern day? It's called the golden rule, isn't it? Boy, it's so simple, isn't it? Do we live that way? Do we live it? As you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Think about that. Children, think about this. You know, in your home, as you're dealing with your siblings, you really want your brother to do that to you? Then why are you doing it to them? All of us. Think about these things. And now, Jesus now turns the corner a little bit because he's talking about the application here of love in your life. Why is this important? Look at verse 32. For if you love them which love you, what thank or what grace, that's a word for grace there, what grace have you? For sinners also love those that love them. So we're rehearsing the things he's already talked about. Love, here's love again. And he's saying, listen, you're going to just love the people that love you back. Well, that's a great thing, yeah. What reward do you have? The sinners. And by this term here, sinners, he's just turning their attention to the people that don't care about God at all. They love the people that love them back too. What does Jesus say? I want you to be different people. I want you to stand out for God. I want you to make a difference so that when people mention your name or they see you living, they are seeing God. They are seeing unnatural things coming out of your life. They're seeing godly things. Verse 33, same idea. You do good to them which do good to you. What thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. So stop categorizing and just patronizing and loving on these people, doing good to people that do good to you. No, you need to be consistent across the board. If you lend, verse 34, to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. You know, I've had to learn in my life, when I lend something or give something to somebody, if they don't return it, it's okay. It's all right. One of the things that's helped me is just realizing it's the Lord's and not mine. If the Lord wanted them to have it, then okay, he just didn't want me to have it. I mean, that's all right. Don't you think the Lord can keep track of his hammers? Yes. Yeah, I mean, I know there's wicked, you know, there's wicked evil people out there that take advantage. I know. But God knows that too. Verse 35. Now look, he's just rehearsing, but love you your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Why? Why do all this? This is tough stuff. Why? Future tense now, your reward shall be great. Wow. Jesus sets that forth. Your reward shall be great. You know, we get caught up in the here and the now, and listen, they just took my stuff. I don't have that stuff anymore. Woe is me. I want to get back at them. Jesus is saying, listen, look to the future. You live this way, you love your enemies, you do good, you lend, hoping for nothing back. Your reward shall be great. And not only that, secondly, you shall be the children of the highest. Huh. You know what? You're going to have a reputation as being one of God's children. That's who you are. As a child of God, this is the way you are to be living. This is what characterizes your life and my life. You are a child of the highest. So know this, end of verse 35. For he, the highest, the God of heaven, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Why do all of this? Because God has done that for you and for me. Wow. You think about that. You think about the mercy, the kindness of God. Has he shown kindness to the unthankful and to the evil? Yes, he has. Sure he has. He lets the rain fall on their fields. Absolutely. He blesses their home with children. Sure. I've seen many happy, seemingly happy families. They don't know God, but they have wonderful times with their kids. What kindness God shows to these people. So verse 36, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Listen, if God is merciful to the unthankful and to the evil, he's been merciful to you, you be merciful to others. So we started out talking about love and the application of love. And we're ending up here understanding, listen, to understand the application in love, I need to understand how God has loved me and how God has shown mercy to me in my life. Having God as the standard is helpful. It's divine wisdom. This is Jesus' divine wisdom of saying, listen, I'm pointing you to the example of your heavenly Father. We don't have to argue about this teacher, this rabbi, this. No, you lift your eyes up and you look at God. And how has he lived? How has he been kind? How has he been merciful? So ought you and I. So how are you doing? How are you doing in your life? Love, doing good, blessing, praying, not just to the easy, but to the hard. Not just to the kind, but to the wicked. God sees it all. God knows. It's his name that's on the line. And may we be people that live as Jesus portrays here, as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Lord, I thank you for the clear teaching of your word and just the clear teachings of Jesus. It must have been incredible to sit there and listen to him proclaim your ways, your word, your will. I thank you for the time that we've had to interact over some things that are not easy for us in our life. These are challenging things. And you know that, though, God. I know you do. But listen, God, I can live this way because you help me to live this way, because of your Spirit, and because I see your example. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these dear people. Thank you for allowing them to come tonight and just the sweet fellowship we've enjoyed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.